Good morning.
Let's see, last weekend I got to say Merry Christmas, so this weekend I'll say Happy New Year. Good to see everyone today. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to sign the little attendance pad at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbors. And if you're a first-time visitor with us this morning, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that we'll bring to you where you're seated. If you'll simply raise a hand, let us know where you're seated. I got to meet Karen and Isola a little bit earlier back there toward the back row. Welcome again, folks. Any other first-time visitors, please raise your hand. Right there. Okay, awesome. Good morning. It's good to meet you. Good to have you here this morning. If anyone would like some further information about our congregation and our ministries, there's a little information sheet that you can fill out inside the bulletin and place it in the offering tray later in this morning's service. We're grateful for the assistance of Stephanie Henry this morning on the organ, and Sam Barboza, who's filling in for Andrew as he's on vacation this week. We've met Sam before. We love Sam, and I believe this is Stephanie's first time here. Well, welcome both of you. Thank you for being here this morning. Please remember that immediately after this service here in the sanctuary, we'd appreciate everyone's assistance with removing and storing all of the Christmas decorations. As the old phrase goes, what goes up must come down. So those of you who were here to set everything up, remember that the more folks we have, the quicker it goes. So we'd appreciate all the help we can get right after service here. Our thanks to everyone who contributed to the warmth tree, where we collected a number of hats and scarves and gloves. All those things will be going to the Clay County Clothes Closet, and there will certainly be beneficial to many folks within our community, especially considering what's going on outside right now with the extremely cold weather. Our thanks also for the contributions to the food pantry. I'm told that we are still low on several items in the food pantry: cereal, oatmeal, and canned fruit. So if you have any, if anybody can bring some cereal, oatmeal, and canned fruit to the food pantry this week, we'd certainly appreciate that help. Next Sunday, January 7th, there'll be a congregational meeting in the sanctuary here right after the 11 o'clock service. That meeting is to vote on recommendation of the board concerning some salaries for our musical staff here. Following that, we'll have our all-church birthday potluck lunch to celebrate everyone's birthdays. And then following that, we'll have the January board meeting in the upper room. So that all happens after this service next Sunday. Please also remember that we're still taking reservations in the church office for the Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University program that will begin on Tuesday, January 9th, and continue each Tuesday evening through early March. So please call the church office to register for that. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, let's please welcome Sam as she leads us in our call to worship.
Please stand. Praise the Lord, you servants of the Lord. Praise his name. His name will be praised now and forever. From the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord. The Lord rules over all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Love and adore.
May we bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, even as we begin putting away our Christmas decorations, we are reminded that the days following Christmas are not the end of the season, but rather they are the beginning of our Lord's presence among us. We encountered our God among us in human flesh, who experienced his birth and growing up as a child into adulthood, working among us as a carpenter, then a teacher, and then experiencing the very human suffering that eventually led to the cross. Lord, we are reminded of the passage of time, and we want to be good stewards of our gift of time. May each of us seek a renewed purpose this new year to do the good work of your kingdom here on earth that you've called each of us to do. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. Please be seated, folks. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come forward for the children's sermon as we sing page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Good morning. How are you? Okay. What did we celebrate last week? Yeah. God's birthday. Okay. And why is that important? Happy birthday.
Yes. It was important because it was his birthday.
And why did Jesus come to the world? Yes.
To live in our heart and see what's going on.
And to save us from our sins, isn't it? Okay, what are we celebrating this week? New Year's, okay. And what is one thing that a lot of people do at New Year's? You really don't know. Okay, well, one of the things, and we talked about it in our adult Sunday school, is we make New Year's resolutions. And that basically means that, okay, the year is ending. All the messes that I made back here, I'm going to forget about. And I'm going to start out with a clean slate, just like this one right here. Nice and clean, isn't it? Okay. But how many of us have sinned? Yeah? In your back? Okay. Not you? Okay. Have you ever not done what Mama told you? There's one. Have you forgot to pick up your clothes in your room? Yeah. And you cleaned your room. Well, that's good. Have you ever hit your brother or sister? No? I think that's a great big one here. A big long, do we tell lies, some of us at times? Yeah, okay. All right. What do you got?
I lie too much.
Oh, you lie too much. Oh, okay. So we'll make, well, that's not, there we go. That's kind of a mess now, isn't it? Yeah, it's kind of messy. And you know, that's kind of how our lives go each and every year and each and every day. We make a mess of our lives. But last week, Jesus came into the world to forgive our sins. And one of the cool things about this is just like Jesus cleaning our sins and making them look nice. Now, doesn't that look nice again? Nice and clean. And that's how Jesus' love makes us. He died for our sins. And the sins that we had, he erases. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. Now then, as you get older, you're going to learn what that means, especially whenever you get into geometry. You'll find out as far as the east is from the west and what that means. Let's go to our Lord in prayer right now. Yes, sir. Okay. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Oh, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you now. Thank you for this day. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for each one of these young people. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with them as they begin this new year. Let them, Lord, to know you and to love you and to know that you love them. Be with us now, Lord, as we begin this new year. In your son's name we do pray. Amen. Okay, I got something for each of you. Hang on.
Thank you, Alan. As we have the privilege to go before God in prayer, a couple of our families are celebrating the birth of newborns into their families. Norma Kovalt celebrates the birth of her second great-grandchild. Her name is Ava Kovart-Starowski, star because she was born on Christmas Day. And connection with the family is that this is Norma's son's first grandchild, and her son is Todd. So please celebrate with Norma. And also, we celebrate with Lynn Bratney the birth of her first grandchild. Her name is Rose Madeline Bratney, going to be known as Rosie. And she was born on the 20th of December up in Chicago to her son Rob and daughter-in-law Caroline. And Rosie came into the world at 9 pounds 10 ounces, so she's already about ready to make a marathon run, I do believe. So we celebrate with you, Lynn, and certainly with Norma as well. We also want to lift up that David Haynes is over at North Kansas City Hospital, again with all this cold air and having to be cooped up inside, dealing with respiratory concerns once again. And Diane Kaiser is over at Liberty Hospital, recovering from a surgery that took place the latter part of this past week, making good progress, and we're very hopeful about that. We lift up Jerry Donahue's niece, Angel Earhart, Luella Scott's daughter, Joellen Foreman, Katie Connell's daughter, Becky Moore. Continue to remember Michelle Jacobo's father, Ray, and Jesus. We lift you up in prayer, as we know you're going to have to be getting back to work here pretty soon. We know that's going to be a challenge for you. So after being off from work for so long, we just lift you up in prayer for strength and renewal. We lift up Gwen Staffney's sister, Susan, as she continues treatment for cancer. We remember David Booth, as he's been dealing with some illness issues up at the VA there in Cameron. Emily Boswell, Roger Barbara Blakely, Ida Reagan, and Penny Valley also. All of these people continue to be in our prayers. And may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, as we begin a new week, we also acknowledge that we are beginning a new year in which we find ourselves reflecting upon experiences of the past and wondering what 2018 may have in store for us. With a blank calendar before us, it may be with some measure of apprehension that we review our past lot and wonder what may be before us. But as Proverbs chapter 23 reminds us, our greatest task is to continually honor you and to know that in you our hope will endure. For as the psalmist writes in Psalm 32, verse 8, if we keep our eyes upon you, O God, you will instruct us and teach us your ways and the ways we should go. And as Jeremiah 29, verse 11 tells us, you do have plans for us. And those plans are not for evil, but they are plans for our welfare and for a hopeful future. And we realize, O God, that our greatest future is tied not to material prosperity or personal gratification, but rather our greatest joy and fulfillment springs forth from our relationship with you through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For as John chapter 17, verse 3 reminds us, eternal life means to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent. And as John tells us in 1 John, we know that in Christ we do experience complete joy. We seek your abiding comfort, O God, for many in need, as we are assured that you wish the best of comfort and joy for all of your children. For as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, that you desire to graciously give us all that may bring us comfort through your presence. These are our thoughts to you, O God, as we now also lift up to you the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Sheila is unable to be with us this morning. Again, with her respiratory concerns, the cold air just makes a difficult complication for her, so please remember her in your prayers as well. The scripture text for this morning from 1 John, it's the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. The text says, "We write to you about the word of life, which has existed from the very beginning. We have heard it, and we have seen it with our own eyes, and we have seen it, and our hands have touched it. When this life became visible, we saw it. So we speak of it and tell you about the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made known to us. What we have seen and heard, we announce to you also, so that you will join us in the fellowship that we have with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this in order that our joy may be complete." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word this morning.
More proclaim.
It's been so cold these last few days, I have found myself pausing to warm up at the hot dog rollers at Quick Trip. Honestly, I'm just going in to get a Gatorade, you know, when I finish walking, but I find myself just stopping and pausing. That's the warmest part of the whole building. I noticed before the early service this morning that Brooks Miller, one of our younger children, he was huddled over by one of the air vents over there, just, you know, wafting in all that warm air that was coming through. Maybe there's been a number of things you've been doing to try to bundle up and stay warm. We do a lot of things to try to stay warmed up physically. But what we need to understand as we gather at the Lord's table this morning is that the Spirit of God does a lot to warm us up spiritually as we approach this table of our Lord and share in the elements of the bread and the cup that remind us of Christ's sacrifice for us. The book of Zechariah in the Old Testament reminds us that the Lord is coming from his holy dwelling place, and he is coming to live among us, the text says there in Zechariah, the second chapter. Again, a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, the Son of God, indeed our Lord and Savior. We celebrate at this table the commitment that he had for us to become that final sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, so that in the washing away of those sins, we truly can warm up to the spiritual presence of God with us. As the text of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 proclaims, Emmanuel, God is with us. We celebrate these truths as we attend to our communion hymn. It's Fill My Cup, Lord. It's hymn number 351 as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of 351.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, drawn from well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as David leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Lord, as we come to this table on this New Year's Eve day, renew us with your love and forgiveness. Help us to be a kinder person to those that we meet, that we show your love and we ask that we become filled with the Holy Spirit, making us a beacon of your love here upon this earth. As we partake of this loaf and bread, this loaf and cup, we ask your blessing upon it. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
It's been said that about 50% of those who've been recipients of gifts will have something that they'll be returning, if not already, sometime here in the next few days. When I read that, it seemed like an extraordinary number of gifts returned. I think the figure's actually in the billions of dollars of gifts that will be returned. You know, I think it goes to show somewhat the difference between our wishes, wants, and our needs, our real needs. How often is it that we think we might want something or might wish for something, but once we've got it, well then, I don't really need it. Back it goes. And yet, maybe that's why in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul tells us that with all his abundant wealth through Christ Jesus, God will supply all our needs. Notice, it doesn't say wishes or wants, our needs. And we celebrate the truth that in the receiving of our tithes and offerings, we have a privilege and an opportunity to help meet needs that people indeed have throughout our community. May we offer up a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look forward to the beginning of a new year in our lives and here at church, let us remember the joyous season we have just celebrated. We know you are with us every day, Jesus, in all that we do. As we gather our tithes and offerings today, let us bless the gifts and the givers. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. Amen. Please be seated. May we have a word of prayer. Lord God, we are indeed grateful for the privilege to be here on this eve of a new year. And as we contemplate this season we call Christmastide, we rejoice in the truth that our joy is complete in Christ. It's in His name that we give thanks. Amen. Certainly over the last few days, and as Christmas has come to a close, we reflect back on the many times in which we've been striving to offer goodwill and cheer and maybe a bit of happiness into the lives of other people, sometimes by simply wishing others Merry Christmas, sometimes in the giving of gifts, sometimes in being a part of particular times of fellowship, all in the hopes of bringing people a bit of joy. You know, when we think about gifts given, do you know what the number one gift given throughout the United States is? What would be your guess? Money? That sounds like might be number one. That's not quite it. It surprised me when I actually did a little research on this, but what else besides money you think might be? A gift card. A gift card is actually number two. The number two gift, that goes to show you how many people just go to the default. Just make sure you get the gift card that hasn't been compromised by the way they've been, you know, stealing from them. Books is way down the list, actually. You know, not all of us are not too many readers left anymore. Pajamas, that's an interesting one. That's close, though, because clothes is the number one item. In fact, I went trying to hunt for some blue jeans. I can't find my size anywhere because they're all sold out. I just thought, well, I got a little extra time. I'll stock up on some clothes I need. I can't find a pair of regular old blue jeans that fit me. Oh, well, I'll wait till they restock. Clothes is number one. Then gift cards is number two, surprisingly enough. One of the things that's a trend, however, is that rather than giving people things, is to actually give people some kind of experience. And one year I did this with Jonathan, where I made arrangements for Jonathan and I to go fly gliders over Dallas-Fort Worth early, early one morning, all by ourselves. And that was a blast. And that was a wonderful experience. I thought, okay, how can we top that? Because that was, again, one of those times when he was coming home from a Christmas break while he was at the Air Force Academy. How can I top that? So the next year, I set it up as he was making his journey toward flight school with the Air Force. As he was getting ready to graduate, I thought, okay, I got it. We're going to fly in planes. But not just any old kind of plane, biplanes. You know, one of the ones with two wings and open cockpits, so you really get the rush of all that cool air. I thought, for Jonathan, what better plane than a World War II trainer? Now, that one has some power to it. That'd be fun. And for old guy like me, 1920s era biplane that just goes put, 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 put in the air. I thought, that suits me. Made these arrangements 6 months ahead because I wanted to make sure I could get right in that window of time when I thought he could be home and everything would work out. And set it all up at an airport north of Dallas-Fort Worth. And sure enough, the time came. Jonathan made it home. Oh, great, we got that far. And then, okay, well, now the day is coming. And we get all ready to pack up and drive the 3 hours from West Texas into the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and just as we're getting in the vehicles, ring, ring, goes the phone. Canceled. Canceled? For what? It's too cold. It was a little bit below 50 degrees. Canceled? You've got to be kidding. But sure enough, canceled because of the whether it was, they claim that it's too cold for the engines of these old planes. I thought, nah, it's probably just too cold for the old pilots who don't want to bother getting out there and being a little bit chilly. But so much for trying to come up with the ultimate experience. How many times do we try to create, you know, that wonderful experience and then it just flops? You know, like spending all that money on a cruise and then you get seasick. That's got to be for the birds. That's terrible. Who wants to spend money being miserable? You can be miserable at home, right? And yet, the things we do to try to cultivate joy for ourselves and others, especially during this time of year, right? And yet that got me to thinking about the real truth of the matter is that when we think of the real essence of the Christmas season, God wanted more than anything for us to experience great joy. And that drew my attention here. First of all, to the scripture text of the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, where we know the text says, Emmanuel, God is with us. God truly wants us to experience His presence through the presence of the Christ child. And then I found myself drawn to the truth that it's the essence of Christ's presence with us that can bring us profound joy. But how do we experience that personally? I think it's really unique that God chose to come into the world in a way that could be something that so many families can experience personally. And that's the birth of a child. I mean, when you think of all the things that can really bring a depth of joy, and we think for the birth of your grandchild, right, Lynn, and the birth of the great-grandchild that we just announced here earlier today. And I think about Wren and Katie, the new young couple in our church who now have an infant, just 3 weeks old now, you know, in the midst of their family. And I remember back in the days when Jonathan was small enough, hard to believe, small enough, his head fit right in the palm of this hand. And his feet stopped right there. I could hold him in one hand. Now, I'd use the other hand, too, but I could hold him just right there. Now, that's a wondrous feeling, is it not? And yet to think, for Mary and Joseph, they were gazing upon not just a child, but recognizing that for them, here is the presence of God. And then as I was thinking about that last couple of weeks, I got to thinking about the text of 1 John that I read to you earlier. That introductory portion, John, the apostle, he really does reveal to us why he writes it. He says, I'm writing this, verse 4, so that your joy may be complete. What is it that can bring us complete joy? Well, in the first three verses, he already tells you. He's saying you'll have complete joy if you really know Christ. Know Him in a most personal and intimate way, an experiential way, and then in fellowship with one another as believers in the faith. All of that combined will make your joy complete. And so there at the very beginning he says, and the Word was God. In other words, Jesus is the Word of God. And so every time we have something proclaimed in Scripture, again, it's a revelation of God's presence with us and epitomized with Christ's presence. But he says, I know all of this to be true and factual because he says, I've seen the Christ, I've heard the Christ, I've touched the Christ. In other words, all these things about feeling, about experience. Again, sometimes we want to offer up the joy of an experience because then at least you have the memory to share forever, right? Even after things we may buy may come and go. But again, as this text is going on, what is really unique is that if you look closer at the Greek, you see that when he says, I have seen, he repeats that several times. Now, in our English language, we see the same word, see. But in the Greek, he goes from just seeing Christ to using a Greek word that means to gaze upon Christ. Now, what do you mean? What's the difference? Well, put it this way. If you go up to that big building in Washington, D.C. that has the big marble and glass case, and you pause and look at this faded document called the Declaration of Independence, you'll see a piece of paper with script writing on it. You new kids remember what that is? I don't even think they teach cursive anymore. But anyway, all you see is a document with script from folks from another country. That may be all they see. But for you and I, as citizens of the United States, hopefully, we don't just see this paper with writing on it. We gaze upon it, and we recognize that document for what it is. As we think back on what we know about our history, and we contemplate the truth that citizens of this country, long before they were citizens of the United States, chose to rebel from an authoritative power and say, no, we want to govern ourselves. And so as we gaze upon that document, the depth of its meaning comes forth for us, right? That document has no meaning whatsoever unless you know what's behind it. And so it is in the expression here that the Apostle John is upholding to us here as he writes this first portion of 1 John, the first chapter. He says, I've gazed upon the Christ. In other words, I've experienced him, seen him, touched him, felt him, you know, just lived with him, lived among his presence. And in that, I have truly begun to understand not only Jesus, but to understand God too. And I have this profound appreciation for the presence of God among us. And he says, in having this experience, I know what it is like to experience complete joy. And therefore, he's saying, won't you strive to be in fellowship with other people of faith so that you too might experience what? The same kind of complete joy. And so, here we are. We're at the beginning of this season of a new year, are we not? The new year of 2018. And it's our privilege then to not only see the Christ child in the manger, but it is our privilege to gaze upon the presence of Christ, to recognize him as our Lord and Savior, and to indeed experience complete joy. Do you have that complete joy within your heart, within your mind, within the depths of your soul? I hope you do, as we have the privilege this morning to extend the invitation to you. Maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, it's number 170. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4 of How Great Our Joy. Hymn number 170, stanzas 1 and 4, please.
By the sheep we watched at night, lo, there appeared an angel bright. How great our joy,
great our joy.
Joy, 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 joy. Glory to God who reigns on high. Glory to God who reigns on high. Jesus, the gift from heaven above, fills all our hearts with joy and love. How great our joy,
great our joy.
Joy, joy, joy,
joy, joy, joy.
Glory to God who reigns on high.
Glory to God who on high.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. Indeed, we wish you and your loved ones the very best as we close up the year of 2017 and welcome in the new year of 2018. Again, we want to remind you, for those of you that are able, we certainly could use your assistance. The more hands we have, the quicker our task will go of disassembling the sanctuary's Advent decorations as we put them up for storage until the Christmas of 2018, right? So we sure could use a little help. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord and gracious God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house of worship this day. As we journey forward, may it be with complete joy that we know of your presence with us. It is in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen.